If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's Friends Without Benefits.
It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today I have a Q&A with Dami Lee. She is a cartoonist and an author. She writes for The Verge. Her cartoons have been seen in The New Yorker. She has worked at BuzzFeed. She has a book, Be Everything at Once, out now. You can check her out on Instagram and Twitter at Dami_Lee, DAMI_LEE. And while you're checking out apps, I want to add another one to your list, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Yeah, that's important. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy, like me. Non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple and intuitive, clear design, with data presented in an easy to digest way, which is what I like. I like things that are intuitive. I like things that are functional. And if they are, I will use it. My dad is a long-time day trader, years and years and years, and he's excited on it. So if he's been doing it for 30-something years in the traditional way, now he's loving it. So it's good enough for my dad, and it's good enough for me. Maybe it's good enough for you. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Come on. You know you need it. And even if you don't need it, you want it. I love it. I especially love, I am obsessed with checking out my crypto. You know what I mean? I'm obsessed just because it constantly is moving, and I'm obsessed with analytics. So I'm always on the app. I'm always on Robinhood. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Sometimes it's just somebody telling you about it or watching some tutorial. It's the hands-on aspect that will help you build that portfolio, learn how to invest. Come on. Be a grown-up. Even me. I'm talking to myself. Be a grown-up. Take control of your finances. And Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Go sign up at friends.robinhood.com. That's friends.robinhood.com. I don't know if you've ever looked at my Instagram. Probably haven't. It's the Jason Horton. Check it out. While you're looking at apps, and just keep adding apps and then adding different things to look at in the apps and make sure my Instagram is one of them, I guess. But I'm going to talk about Ghost Town podcast. But to be fair, I've been talking about Friends Without Benefits on Ghost Town. I want to be fair. I'm not playing favorites. But Halloween is coming up. And I did, along with my co-host Rebecca, we have a special three-part The Death of Janis Joplin episode. It will coincide with the anniversary of her death. It'll kind of coincide with Halloween. And we rented the hotel room where she died in Hollywood. And then we recorded some interviews with the staff. Rebecca's mother actually met Janis Joplin. We had a medium come and read the room. That's going to be the final of the three episodes. And it is freaky. I'm not going to lie. It really freaked me out. Kind of just being in there freaked me out. But then we had music, people playing Janis Joplin's music, and it was really awesome and intensive and expensive, but so what? You know what? Don't care. Wanted to do it. So if you check out Ghost Town Podcast, you can look at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever, you can get it now, subscribe, download it, rate and review it, whatever. So this way, when October hits, you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready for Halloween. And maybe I have something planned for Halloween for Friends Without Benefits. Maybe. I don't know. Keep listening. And by saying maybe, I am going to. I would not lie to you. I'm less than a month out from going to Berlin, Prague, and Copenhagen. Excited about that. My wife is very excited. She loves, well, she's doing about 103% of the planning. I don't really get excited. I don't know if you're like this, but I don't get really excited until closer to it or when I'm there, when it finally hits me. She gets excited. She was excited months ago. But we have a lot of cool stuff planned. I have a blog called ghosttowntravels.com, which is an extension of the Ghost Town podcast, but it's also urban exploration and travel, and it's a little more expanded. So if you want to check out ghosttowntravels.com, I'm going to also be doing stand-up in Berlin. As I solidify the date, I will let you know when it is. I don't know. If you're in Berlin during that time, come on down. See how I do. If people don't laugh, I'll blame it on a language barrier. But we know it's just because my lack of skill and talent. But one thing I do have a talent for is eating, and Green Chef is going to help me with that. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about. The recipes are quick, easy, with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. With Green Chef, it's easy to maintain a specialty diet and enjoy exciting new options. And I'm like that. I like to switch it up. I go through phases. I sometimes want to be vegetarian and some for the day, you know, for the meal, maybe. And then sometimes I'm like, I want to cut the carbs and do something like keto. And Green Chef helps you. There's a diverse array of recipes that range from global cuisines to classic comfort foods, all with a signature touch. Green Chef thinks dinner should be planned around your life, not the other way around. Thank you. They have meal plans that include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. I started off with the omnivore, with what I generally like. Some of my favorites are the chicken salad lettuce wraps and the Italian sausages and potato mash. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/friends. That's greenchef.us/friends. All right, let's get into my Q&A with Dommy Lee. I asked about when she was growing up in Seoul, was moving to the U.S. something that was part of her plan or something that just ended up happening?
So my family immigrated to Austin, Texas when I was 6. So maybe I just don't remember them like sitting me down and telling me we're moving to America, or maybe they just like didn't tell me. But yeah, it was never part of like a plan or something that I like remotely knew about or knew was happening. Like I remember my mom would like teach the neighborhood kids like English sometimes. Like we would make little flashcards for English vocabulary on the backs of like these giant calendars that we had. So I knew like very little English when I moved. But you know, like kids pick up on languages pretty fast. So, it was pretty, like a confusing experience at first, but I think that it was easy to adapt to. So I moved back to Korea after college at the request of my parents, who once again dropped another bombshell on me that they wanted me to come back after I graduated. And like nobody told me this, like when I was growing up, nobody was like, you're expected to get your American education and then come back to Korea. Like nobody told me this. So it was pretty shocking to me and I really resisted it at first. But then my dad ended up getting kind of sick and I felt like I should be there. So I moved back to Korea and we sort of had this deal where I would stick it out for 3 years and see how I liked it. And long story short, I did not like it, but I'm so grateful for the experience. I just, like, it changed how I feel about being a Korean American, and it definitely helped me, like, connect with my Korean culture. But I think the reality was it was just hard to work in, like, a Korean corporate environment. So I ended up getting a job as a translator at a mobile game company, and it was okay, like, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted to be doing with my life.
I'm always curious about why someone would choose to live in New York over LA if they're in entertainment or vice versa. But I asked, why New York and not LA?
So I had been uploading comics online for like a couple of years, like since graduating college. And it was one of the ways that I like to keep in touch with my friends back home. But it was mostly like uploading things to my Tumblr or like my Facebook where like maybe three people would see it. But I just kept drawing them. And one day I saw a job listing on BuzzFeed for a web artist fellowship. And the description was basically just like, we make memes all day long, make comics. And I was like, that's literally the only thing I know how to do. So I applied and the process ended up happening really fast. Like I did a Skype call for my interview and the connection kept dropping, but they liked what they saw like on my Tumblr and stuff. So ended up working out and I moved to New York, I think like 2 weeks after that. So that's why I'm in New York. I've been here for about 3 years and every day is a challenge. To put it nicely, but I am like grateful for the opportunity to be here. And, you know, like all the people that I've met here, I think it's something you can't really get anywhere else.
I asked her how she discovered her skill for cartooning, because I think a lot of us have doodled and drawn at some point, but I wanted to know how she discovered like, oh, I have an actual skill for this. Unlike me, who does not have a skill for this.
I don't know if I would say I have a skill or I ever like discovered a skill for cartooning. I think it's something that developed with time because, I'd always been kind of, wary of like art school or, it was one of my regrets not going to art school. Cause I don't feel like I have that foundation or, you know, like the technical skills that a lot of really cool like internet artists have. But the good thing about cartooning is that you really don't really need that many skills, like art skills. I think as long as you have the idea and you have like a story that you want to tell, it's something that you can definitely learn as you go.
I wanted to know how she chose which comics to use from As Per Usual for Beat Everything at Once and how both of the projects came about and how close the character was to her.
So after my BuzzFeed fellowship ended, I started pitching to a lot of different outlets to get my comics featured. And one of them was Line Webtoon, which is a comics platform app. And they feature like a bunch of different artists. And that's how I started As Per Usual, which is my comic series with the little egg shirt girl. So that girl, she's basically me. I think it's maybe like an exaggerated version of me or just more embarrassing. But I basically use this comic as my personal diary. Like I'll write about like the small, like stupid things that bother me or things that I'm feeling that day. In addition to As Per Usual, I'd also been drawing another comic called Illustrated Internet. And that was a series where I took a bunch of like funny tweets that I saw or like Tumblr posts and translated them into illustrations. And one of the tweets that I did was the I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, I'm four eels tweet, which is just like a legendary tweet. And I ended up doing that comic and I posted it to Reddit. And literary agent ended up seeing it. So she actually reached out to me with like a different book proposal. So the original plan was to make a book of comics just based on like misheard lyrics. And we pitched it to a couple of different publishers, but none of them were like really that into it, except for one Chronicle editor who saw it. And after we got to talking, she decided that she liked my story, like my personal story, better. So that ended up working out pretty well. So the book is made up of half new comics and half old comics that have already been posted. And it was kind of a struggle to lay them out in a way that made sense narratively. So I decided to break it up into six different chapters, starting with, you know, like my family's immigration experience, moving up to when I moved back to Korea, and then finally coming back to New York. And then there's actually like a last chapter that's basically just like life advice, but it's just like my miscellaneous chapter where I threw in all the comics that I couldn't fit in the narrative. But yeah, that's how I chose. And it was really hard, like laying it out in a way that made sense. That was one of the biggest headaches.
I asked her about writing for The Verge, which is something that I read, and what are some of the things that she gravitates to when writing for them. And was it surreal to see her comics in The New Yorker or Cosmo? Because it would be surreal for me, especially since I don't make comics, so it would be very strange for me. But I wanted to find out if it's surreal for her.
So right now I'm a reporter for The Verge, and I write mainly for our Circuit Breaker vertical, which is where we write about gadgets and phones and toys and stuff like that. A lot of Kickstarters that don't end up working out. So I think I naturally gravitate towards a lot of the weird, like, offbeat things. One of my favorite gadgets we've written about is this musical calculator, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a calculator that just plays music, and you can play it like a piano, basically. There's also stuff like the ramen cup noodle maker, Nissin. They made this fork that plays a sound when you slurp your noodles too loud. So just like weird, silly things like that. It's definitely surreal to see my comics on the New Yorker website. I think it's really great that they let pretty much anyone come into their office once a week and get their comics personally vetted by the editor, who will often reject it, but it's character building.
In getting into Be Everything at Once, I wanted to know what kind of experience or takeaways she hoped people might have, although they're probably different from person to person. I was just wondering if there was maybe something she hoped that they would take away from it.
Growing up, I spent a lot of time in the library. I would just read all the comics I could get my hands on. Especially Garfield comics, because he has like 40 or 50 collection books, and they're very easy for the ESL learner. So I just spent a lot of time in the library, and I would always try to look for books about Korea, because I was just like interested in knowing like where I came from, and I didn't really remember that much of it. So I would look for these books, and all I could find would be like one book on the history of Korea, and it's just like totally boring and like no one wants to read that. So no offense, but you know, it was just not, there were no books about Korean Americans or like the immigrant experience, like nothing like that when I was growing up. So to have a comic book that kind of touches on these experiences, and having people reach out to me, other Korean Americans reach out to me and tell me, you know, that they've never seen themselves represented before. It's like a really weird experience, but I'm also like super grateful for it.
And then I wanted to know what was next for her, which, because once you do something, people want to know. And sometimes you're thinking to yourself, okay, now what's next? Sometimes we don't even get a chance to enjoy the thing that we did before we're thinking, or people are asking, what's next? But I wanted to know what was next for her.
So I'm not really sure what I want to do next. I have thought about writing another book, but that probably won't be for a little while until I like recover from all this, but I definitely want to explore making different kinds of comics, maybe ones that don't feature the egg girl or aren't, you know, easily shareable, you know, like aren't fitting into like the four panel Instagram square. So yeah, I do want to keep focusing on my Korean culture and learning more about it. I feel like I need to do more research before I can even get into it. So I'll probably just ask my mom or my grandma, like, just to tell me as many stories as they can. Friends without benefits.